In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, September 1st, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The government of Ethiopia is persecuting Christians now. Six Christian men from southern Ethiopia were sentenced to 6 to 9 years in prison. Their crime? They wrote a letter to government officials concerning the persecution the Christian church faced from Muslims in the area. Ethiopia is 34% Islam, the threshold at which Christians come under severe persecution in Muslim-dominated states. The Democratic National Committee failed to approve a resolution supporting President Obama's Iran nuclear agreement over the weekend. This portends weak support for the vote set to take place in Congress next week. 10,000 South Carolinians showed up at a pro-family rally on the steps of the state capitol over the weekend. Governor Rick Perry and Senator Ted Cruz both addressed the audience on the life issue. Perry addressed religious liberty in the strongest possible terms.
We see a Supreme Court that is out of control. We see fear in our churches and in our religious schools because we have a government that is out of control.
Yes, sir.
We see people of faith being persecuted for their private lives, for their businesses. Literally, the foundation of America is under attack from those on the left. It's under attack from Washington, D.C.
Evangelist Billy Graham told the Kansas City Star that the only ones who will not be forgiven by God are those who will not ask for forgiveness. He warned Americans not to risk eternal damnation any longer, quoting Hebrews 12, "It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." The states most given to the sin of adultery, according to data analyzed from the Ashley Madison hack, are Alabama, Colorado, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Arkansas. The District of Columbia in our nation's capital was high on the list as well. An Alabama mayor was forced to resign after his name appeared on the Ashley Madison adultery website hack. Avid Media, the parent company for Ashley Madison, announced that business is still booming on the site with hundreds of thousands of sign-ups over the last 2 weeks. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turning to his own vomit again, and the pig that was washed is now wallowing in the mud again. Facebook reached another milestone over the weekend, 1 billion visitors in one day. That's one for every 7 people in the world. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said, "This brings the world closer together and, quote, brings stronger relationships," unquote. Or at least stronger pseudo-relationships. Christ commends a love for brothers we can see. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. 1 John 4:20. Is America's historical legacy fading? President Obama has agreed to eradicate the name McKinley from the grandest, tallest mountain in the nation. Henceforth, the Alaskan mountain will be called by its native moniker, Mount Denali. The Economist reports that Russia has the second highest prison population rate in the world. America takes first place. As always, increases in moral degradation always increases the purview of government. Proverbs 28:2 says, "When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order."
It really raises the awareness that many of the battles that we fight in our homes are really not against the person we're fighting. In fact, the real enemy is Satan and the demons and the principalities and powers of this dark world that we live in.
They pointed out that the real enemy is Satan. We need to fight him instead of each other. And the only way to fight him is through the power of prayer.
That's what viewers had to say on Alex Kendrick's new film released over the weekend. War Room grossed $11 million over the weekend, pulling the second position at the box office. The movie Straight Outta Compton barely edged out War Room, even though it played in 3 times the number of theaters. Horror meister Wes Craven has faced the ultimate horror for an apparent unbeliever, death at 76. Raised in a strict Baptist home and a graduate of Wheaton Christian College, Craven is known for the glorification of evil and a film genre called horror. He established franchises for Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream. The truth of Deuteronomy 7:9-10 for Wes Craven will be horrifying indeed. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy with them who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays them who hate Him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, September 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you here. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Also a pastor of a church out in Elizabeth, Colorado. Bill Jack also in studio with me, worldview guy extraordinaire. And I think this story is going to be of interest to you, Bill. We're going to talk a little bit about university biases and what's happening with the university, because what happens with university is what will filter down into society 5, 10, 15 years later. So it's right. Always nice to kind of update yourself on what the world's going to look like in 2025. And so sure. Here we go. Sure. All right. So here's Todd Starnes, Fox News, referring to a university in Tennessee, Knoxville. And I thought Tennessee was a conservative state. I thought this is the heartland.
It's the buckle of the Bible Belt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything I've heard about Tennessee is it's the place to go. A lot of our folks, friends have moved to Tennessee because that's the bastion of conservative living.
Right. Bastion of Christianity.
Somehow, yeah, all your rights, all your freedoms will be preserved in Tennessee. Forget about Colorado, California. They're done for. Tennessee is the last bastion of freedom in America, all except for the fact that the universities there are about as corrupt as any.
Oh, they're worse.
Are they?
They're worse. Even the Christian universities. Belmont.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Homosexual
they sure
marriage.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah, Vanderbilt threw a Christian organization off campus because they didn't include homosexuals in their leadership.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, okay, Tennessee's all messed up.
Yeah.
At least the universities are. So this one is a University of Tennessee, Knoxville, and they are encouraging the use of gender-inclusive pronouns. It's a huge thing.
I've been worried about this. I've lost sleep on this for many a night.
Well, apparently, this is the University of Tennessee, Knoxville's Office of Diversity and Inclusion, which gives me the shudders just to think about what that would involve. Walk in there, you're like in the holiest of holies of the humanist temple of the day. You know, you walk to the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and man, we are not worthy. Take your shoes off. You walk into the holiest of holies of the modern humanist temple.
Yes.
All right. So this is apparently the heads up given to new students on campus. With a new semester, this is a quote, beginning and an influx of new students on campus, it's important to participate in making our campus welcoming and inclusive for all, writes Donna Brackett in a posting on the university's website. One way to do that is to use a student's chosen name and their correct pronouns. Now, she's serious. This is not a joke. She talks about using the right pronoun. If you take a look at the chart, and there's the chart.
I've got it in front of you.
There it is. Yes. You got the she, the he, the they.
Yes.
You're good though, you're thus far, right? There's also
he, she, her, him,
but then
hers, his.
There's the g, g, and g, and the here and here's, and the gems and jares.
Excuse me? Wait.
This is the subject, the object pronoun. You know, as you talk about gender neutral pronouns, they want the G's, the here's, the here's, and the G, the jeer, the jeers, and the G, the gems, the jeers.
I'm about to jeer.
You're about to jeer over the gem. This is crazy, man.
You know, if it weren't so sad, you know, if you didn't want to cry, you know, but you got to laugh at this.
She takes it seriously, though. She says, this is Brackett from the University of Tennessee Office of Diversity and Inclusion. She says, these may sound a little funny at first, but only because they're new. This is what an insane asylum would look like, Bill.
Yeah.
You want to know what an insane asylum looks like? This is what it looks
this
like.
This is it.
Okay. Yeah, this is the obliteration of gender in America. And it's happening in universities all over the place. I don't think it's just the conservative University of Tennessee. It's
It's all over the place. It's, you know, this is what the world looks like in 15 years from now. You send your kids to K-12 schools, they'll be talking about GJ or Jim.
Gee whiz.
Have you ever heard anybody talk like that?
Gee whiz.
You ever heard anybody talk like that?
Jim? No. No.
I haven't.
No. Never.
I have a feeling if you're out
only,
in university.
Only if you were in China.
Yeah.
These sound Chinese to me.
They do.
This sounds like a Chinese pronunciation of a very unusual spelling.
Okay. At root, what's happening is the obliteration of gender, which means it's opening the door for bisexuality and homosexuality.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty much what it is?
Well, Google.
Just ask yourself, why are they doing this?
Google, when you sign up, I think there are 23 different genders you can choose.
Uh-huh.
So Zers and Jims might work.
And I think the word autonomy comes to mind because man self-defines himself. At the point where you say, I will define my own sexuality.
But it's basically what you're doing is you're flipping God off. You're shaking your fist in the face of God and saying, you don't define me. I define me. I am my own God.
Man says, I will decide what is right and wrong for myself. That's autonomy. Man says, I will decide who I will or what I will have sex with. That's autonomy. Man says, I will decide my own gender. That's autonomy. Why is it autonomy? It's man saying, I will define myself. That's the religion, my friends. And I'm afraid that even in the silliness of it all, Christians don't understand what's happening. They don't understand this is just autonomy. This is manding a law to himself instead of submitting himself to God, who is the very source of man's ethics, man's truth, and man's reality, including man's sexuality and man's gender. God determines your gender.
Yeah, it's not gender, it's sex. Gender is a grammatical term. It applies to pronouns. Yeah. Sex is applies to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have people like Bruce Jenner, i.e. Caitlyn Jenner,
mm-hmm.
saying, God, I'm a Christian, but you don't define who I am. I define who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got real problems.
It's like saying, I am a Christian, but I'm also an atheist, a humanist, and I sacrifice my kids to Ashtaroth.
Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I do this. And
yeah.
That's exactly what they are. They're the tail end of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian, but.
Okay, well, we're going to get back to universities in just a moment. College board tests are biased. It's what World Magazine is telling us. We'll be back on that issue in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the Presidential Forum, and the Presidential Straw Poll. Your family, your church's future, hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. Bill Jack also in studio. As we talk a little bit about college, and college is important because college, again, sets the direction for the future of the nation. And friends, it's important to know this. And it's also important to know that the reason why America is about to persecute Christians is because red state families send their kids to blue state colleges. I can't emphasize that enough. I know I've repeated it many times on the program, but red state conservative, average, ordinary families, Christian families in America, they know they got to get your kids a college education. Got to give your kids a liberal arts college education. And the only way to do that is to send them to a blue state college where they get a good education. You know they're going to get a good, solid blue education. And somehow they've got this impression that unless you give them a good, solid liberal arts education, they're not going to be successful in life. Well, it turns out colleges are biased. World Magazine comes out with a great story. This is Warren Cole Smith. I've had him on the program before. He's a good guy. This guy's solid. And he's got an article here on the bias of the college board exams. We're talking SAT, PSAT, ACT, advanced placement. I guess it's all part of the same organization. Is that the way you understand this?
Yeah.
The college board apparently oversees all these tests.
Yep.
And which is kind of scary because, again, no free market here.
None.
No free market here. This is the monopoly of ideas, my friends. You put everything under one board, put everything under one centralized system, and that's what the college board is. It's going to be biased.
And the president of the college board, David Coleman, was the chief architect of the Obama administration's Common Core curriculum.
So there you go.
Okay. You guess where he came from?
Yeah.
The Gates Foundation.
Yep. You can't get away from it, my friends. You can't get away from it. Unless you go to the Islands of Freedom. And we talk about that in my book, Freedom, coming out in just a couple of weeks. And we're going to have that on sale in just about a week or so. It's critical that we avail ourselves to the Islands of Freedom, partially to salvage the faith in the next generation for the last couple of million Christians left in America. Hey, can we salvage a few? Bill, would you like to salvage a few out of the 200 million kids growing up in this country? Heading off to college board, off to the University of Tennessee. Wouldn't you like to see a few salvaged?
You know, I don't want to just salvage them. I want to equip them to lead.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's what Worldview Academy does. Worldview.org.
Yep.
Send your kids there and we train them to lead and to stand and speak in the face of adversity and in the face of extreme hostility even.
So Warren Cole Smith opens the article with the question, what's more important in the development of the nation? Who is more influential in the development of the nation? A, Benjamin Franklin, or B, Harvey Milk. Now, for those of you listening to the program, most of them have no idea who Harvey Milk is.
Well, all they got to do is go to the post office, and he has a commemorative stamp.
Oh, well, that, yeah.
Yeah.
All they have to do is send their kids to the university.
Yeah.
They'll get Harvey Milk 101, Harvey Milk 102, Harvey Milk 103. And no, he was not a dairy farmer.
No, he was not. In fact, you know, I travel all over the country, do camps and all over the country, and there was a poster outside of our meeting room for Worldview Academy at the University of Arizona, Northern Arizona University, and it had Harvey Milk's quote. And Harvey Milk was the first openly homosexual elected official in the United States, if I'm not mistaken. He was a board of regent, or not regent, but he was on the board of San Francisco.
And for those of you who believe
City
that
Council.
Obergefell is akin to the Declaration of Independence, the beginning of an entirely new nation, which is kind of true, actually.
Yeah, it's the Declaration of Dependence.
Yeah, the Declaration of Decadence or whatever it is. If you believe that Obergefell is the beginning of a new nation, then yes, Harvey Milk is your founding father.
Right.
And that's the way these guys look at it. They don't want the old America anyway. So according to World Magazine, that's the way the college board is headed.
Now,
the college board considers Harvey Milk to be as important or more important than Benjamin Franklin on the new AP exams on American history.
So you got to refer to him as G.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And they interview in this article a teacher who is an AP teacher, also grades AP exams. She speaks under anonymity. So she didn't want to. She didn't want anybody to know who she is, because if she did, she'd probably lose her job. So
now that's problematic to me.
You think so?
Yeah, it's very problematic, because what she's saying is this. You know, I know this is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's unjust. It's not good education. This is deceptive. And I'm going to try to bring light on it, but I still have to participate in this mm-hmm. system because I want my paycheck. Now, what do we call somebody who does that?
Yeah.
If you sell yourself and you don't really believe in the relationship, what do you call that? You call that, well, we can't say that, can we? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we have people like this who want to be whistleblowers, but will want anonymity because they want the paycheck.
And they continue to perpetuate the system.
Yes.
And that's the thing that bothers me the most. At some point, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. At some point, friends, You don't perpetuate the system. You fight it. You undermine it. You bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You present an education formed in the fear of God. We'll get more to that towards the end of the program. But apparently, here's what she's saying. She said that recommended textbooks have problems. A history of Western society devotes less space to John Calvin or Martin Luther than to homosexuality and the acceptance of sexual orientation, which it regards as a mark of civilization's progress. Feminist Simone de Beauvoir, critique of marriage, she called it marriage unjust, undesirable, gets full 2 pages in this book, about as much as the book devotes to World War II Pacific Theater. Now, my guess is most people listening to the program have no idea who Simone de Beauvoir is.
You say that very well.
She was the live-in girlfriend of John Paul Sartre, for those of you who really want to know. Read my book, Apostate, you'll find out about the people who destroyed the Christian West. And guess what? Miss Simone de Beauvoir is right there with her, with them all. Okay, well, my friends, if you don't get Apostate, you'll never get the true story. And if you read these textbooks, you'll be, and your kids will be nicely brainwashed in the history of humanism in the modern world, and they will become cogs in the wheel of the destruction of Western society, Western civilization, by way of this big homosexual issue and the erosion of our entire socioeconomic systems via John Paul Sartre, John Maynard Keynes, and all of the great heroes of the left covered by these textbooks that you got to read if you're going to get your AP exams. Okay, well, then thankfully, the World Magazine article goes to the Islands of Freedom and refers to the entrepreneurial homeschool community. Now, about 2 million strong in the United States, has devised some AP, SAT, and SAT workarounds. College Plus, division of the for-profit company Lumeret, allows homeschoolers to take college courses online, and they talk about 10,000 students have earned up to 90 credit hours through College Plus since 2004, and on and on. So there's a few islands out there, obviously not feeding the 100 million, but feeding the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands who just want to opt out. And you know, Bill, as I think about this opening question, I sat there thinking about it this morning. Yes, these people are biased. Yes, the College Board is biased. But what's the real issue here? Let me phrase this question a different way. And I want everybody to think about this listening to the program this morning. Here's the question. Who is more important in the development of America? A, Benjamin Franklin. B, Harvey Milk. Or C, Jesus Christ. See, that's the way the question ought to be phrased. And because we have separated Jesus Christ out from education, he isn't preeminent anymore. We have a dualism about education. And I think even Christian schools, Christian classical schools, Christian homeschools have done this for the most part. There are exceptions to the rule. For the most part, we've become dualists. We create a philosophical knowledge based on human reason, and then we've got sacred knowledge way over here, and never the two shall meet.
And it's almost unwittingly that we've done it, because we've been trained to think this way, that we separate our hearts and our minds. But we're to love God with all heart, soul, strength, and our minds. And the thing is that Jesus wasn't saying four different things. He was saying the same thing four different ways. We're to love God with all. What we do is we compartmentalize education, our minds, and separate it from our faith, our hearts, is the way modern Christians do this. And so too often we unwittingly do this. In the case of Christian schools, we will teach a philosophy class from a secular perspective, and then we'll have a devotional every morning. Or we'll have Bible class, and then we'll go over here and we'll do evolutionary science class in the same building. So we do what the culture does, but we just do it in the same building. The culture says you can have your church over here, but we have the education system. We train their minds. You can have their hearts.
Bill, let me read from Colossians 1:16. I know it's anathema to read the Word of God in anywhere near the context of education, but I'm going to do it.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay.
I understand I'd be kicked out of a university. I'd be kicked out of a K-12 school if I ever did this, but I'm going to do it on this radio program. Colossians 1:16, for by him, that is Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Let me ask you this question. Does that include science and history?
I think it says all things.
Would it include the development of the United States as a country in 1776?
I think it says all things, Kevin.
Let me run that by you one more time. In all things he might have the preeminence. Yeah, you're right, it does. It says in all things that he might have the preeminence.
Not in some things.
Jesus Christ is the center of history.
You know, the Great Commission, I overlooked the first two words for many years. All authority has been given to me, he said. All authority, not some, all.
If Jesus Christ shows up at creation, he shows up at the cross, he shows up at the judgment, three important moments for every single person on earth. He's important in history. He ought to be mentioned. He ought to be preeminent. He ought to be worshipped. He ought to be feared. He ought to be prayed to in the education classrooms. Otherwise, friends, get your kids out of those classrooms and get them out now. It's Christ-centered education or bust. It's a God-fearing education or forget about it. The basics of a good college education and a good K-12 education has got to be an education in which Christ is mentioned in the science classroom. I'm teaching my daughter physics right now, Bill, and I don't believe Jesus Christ has been mentioned even a single time thus far. I mean, he ought to be in every unit, but he's not. And I'm using one of the best Christian curriculums available in the country. What I'm telling you is that Christians, for the most part, ignore Jesus Christ in science because they've been told to do that since Aquinas said you separate out natural philosophy from sacred learning. And friends, they've been doing that for 800 years. It's hard to change old habits that are 800 years old. Really hard to change those habits. But I'm telling you, if you don't, you're going to lose your kids. You're going to lose your kids. And you're going to lose the faith. Our education has got to be Christ-centered. It's got to be God-fearing. It's got to be life-integrated. Got to respect the principle of individuality. These are the basic principles of Christian education laid out in the Word of God. And I'd encourage you to get my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, where I'm touching on these things. Because, you know, again, you want to get the same results over and over again. Use the same humanist form of education for your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids to be sure that your children will be 100% card-carrying humanists by the year 2040. No, we've got to address education, a Christ-centered, God-fearing education as Christians, as Christian pastors, as Christian leaders. This has got to be a major thrust in your church. If it's not, get out. If your pastors aren't encouraging a God-centered, Christ-centered education for your kids in your churches, friends, they're not even involved. They're not even involved in the war of the worldviews. Now, I'm not telling you what form of education to take on, except for that form that is God-fearing, Christ-centered, life-integrated, that form of education presented in the Word of God, and I bring out some of those basic principles in my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets. Also, be sure to get a copy of Keep the Faith on Education, a little book that goes over 2,000 years on this incredible battle for the hearts and minds of the next generation. Bill, this is an important battle. And I think Christians, for the most part, are losing. They're on the losing end of the stick here.
Yep. It's a battle for the hearts and minds of those around us. And we need to proclaim truth and grace. And in doing so, we need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's why education is important. That's why what you pour into a person's mind will determine what he thinks, and what he thinks will determine how he acts, regardless of his heartfelt faith.
And guess who is full of truth and grace? You say we've got to have an education full of truth and grace. Guess who is full of truth and grace according to John chapter 1? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is full of truth and grace. And friends, if You're not bringing Jesus into the classroom every day, every day, every day. You don't get an education full of truth and grace. Well, I think that's the way we want to conclude this edition of the program. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And get your friends and family members to tune in to this radio program at generationsradio.com or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.